to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
I think for the sake of full disclosure, we are not in Ashburton. We're broadcasting live from Tamaki Makaurau from Auckland City in Auckland, New Zealand. With me, David Slack. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Mikey.
We could sit here and crap on about how great the government is and couldn't we for ages, but let's talk about America. What a day. What a day.
Somebody said that they were in the press pool for the in the White House this morning and they were waiting to see what Sarah Huckabee Sanders would have to say, and they were kind of frustrated, but they were also mostly saying she really looks like she doesn't want to be here.
Oh, she looks like that most times. So I mean, I can't wonder what sort of what's the
term? How do you spin it, Mike? How do you spin this?
A goat looking piss off a thistle, that sort of face. How would you spin it? So let's just recap for those people who don't know. Donald Trump became the president of America somehow. It turns out we're finding out
thanks to Russia.
Yeah, find out more and more. Although I've got a theory on that. Remind me about that at the end of the conversation. And so that was disgusting for a start because he's a poisonous human being. And yesterday his two big trials sort of turned some major corners. The first one was with Paul Manafort. Now, what was his role?
So he was the campaign manager, and previous to that, for about 10, 20, 30 years, he had been counselling evil regimes and taking coin from them. And somewhere along the line, because he's also somebody who likes the high life and couldn't quite keep up with paying for that, he got himself quite compromised with both the government by not paying his taxes and also with some of these people who he was wanting to get more dough from, and made more and more lavish promises. And this is actually, I'm jumping ahead because this wasn't disclosed in the conviction, but it is implied in everything that's happened that he owed a lot to, for example, various Russian kleptocrats and people close to the Kremlin. And therefore, this person who then was the campaign manager, let me repeat that, the campaign manager
of Donald Trump's presidential campaign,
may or may not have had the very strong incentive to offer some kind of access to the presidential candidate, to these people to whom he was beholden. So you've got at least...
Stinks.
At least the possibility something might not go quite right there.
As you say, he's been convicted, not sentenced yet.
Correct.
A potential sentence for
tens of dozens of generations, Michael.
80 years or something like that. He's 70 years old for a start. Question: do you think he might try and make a deal?
Also, he is a close accomplice of Roger Stone, who has been the kind of evil genius for the Republican Party from back in the last time there was a Republican crook in the White House, and by that I mean Nixon, and his dirty tricks repertoire is vast, wide, and deep, and if he wasn't involved in this in some way, I'm a Dutchman.
Right.
Now, it is possible that some of that might emerge now that potentially Manafort may be compelled to give evidence to...
Those loose lips might help sink the ship.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just thinking of the various legal possibilities in which you can compel Manafort to talk. I think it's likely that we're going to get more from him, is the short proposition.
He's 70 years old. He's going to get jail time. He's definitely going to get jail time. There's no way he's around that. He thinks he's going to get pardoned or something like that, but by maybe hanging on to it. But then, of course, you've got the other player. Cohen's Michael Cohen, who was Trump's personal lawyer. Now, just a moment. Stinks again. Trump's personal lawyer, who once again, it's all very good and well saying I'll take a bullet for him and that sort of thing, but when the bullet comes, and you go, oh, that's a bullet. That sucks. I don't want anything to do with that. I think maybe I'll just okay.
Yesterday was an astonishing moment because he said in his confession in the court that he had been instructed by a candidate for high office, meaning the president. There's no disputing this.
They call individual number one or something, didn't they?
To commit a crime, that is to say, to pay somebody to by their silence, so the better to subvert the democratic process
to influence the election.
That's right.
Which was when he paid them off 11 days away. Wasn't that something like that?
Yeah.
That's from the way that.
There is so much smoke you can barely see the gun.
So, that's massive. And once again, he's been convicted but not sentenced yet. So he still has the potential to offer up more and lessen his sentence.
And then, for God's sake, run. I'm not actually sure that the sentencing would be the point where you do the bargaining. But the point, the crucial point is that he said yesterday.
Well, he's still in the position to. I know that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, on top of that, his lawyer said that he was more than willing to share everything he knows. So
I guess that's what I must have heard.
Yeah.
So once again, let's sort of recap. More than willing to share everything he knows.
Yeah. I'm paraphrasing, but that was the clear import. Yeah,
and he knows a lot more, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what? So
now here's one thing.
What about Melania? Come on, guys. Sitting there all twatted up on bloody whiskey and painkillers or whatever she's on and just staring into space going, oh, he did. He did sleep with her and her.
She's
surely she knew that he was.
She's a sad, tragic figure who is, I think, in there with her eyes open from the beginning.
You know, there's a great potential for a science fiction movie where she's actually some robot overlord and just goes and takes over the whole thing. So, in the meantime,
we have the spectacle of the president then on the revelation of these developments, quickly trying to escape the press pool and saying, "This has nothing to do with him. What Paul Manafort did was he did before he knew him, and it's very sad." Now let's stop for a moment.
Yeah, very sad. Very sad. Yeah. And a good guy is a good guy. Yeah.
Here's a man. Here's a man who has ripped off America to the tune of millions. Who is an exposed and convicted fraudster. Who has subverted the democratic process, and he's saying it's a sad thing that in the sense he's trying to redefine the word sad though.
Yeah,
maybe he is, and you always have to give him a few points for the fact that his relationship with the English language is fragile and tenuous. But what he clearly means is it's always a shame when one of his friends gets caught. He's not saying
this is a thing.
It's not sad that they're shown to be criminals. It's sad that they got caught.
It's sad that they got caught.
And this is the mindset of this guy. He has spent a lifetime using the law to duck his obligations, to rip people off, to rip off the state if that happens to suit him. And he thinks that's cool. And this is the man who has been instructed and who has pledged his fealty to the United States of America. I don't think so.
Every waking moment.
Yeah.
Every moment of every breath.
He's not your friend.
He's protecting your country.
40 million voters. He's not your friend.
What has happened? I mean, the very big difference between my prediction. No, he'll stay there. Because all they can do, they can't indict him while he's a president, can they? What? But they can impeach him. They can try and impeach him.
They can, but the GOP really doesn't want to do that. So most likely what happens is that there is a change in the numbers in the House in the midterm elections in a couple of months. And that must be a reasonably strong proposition, notwithstanding, we've talked about this before, the gerrymandering that goes on all over the United States.
Great phrase,
Zach.
Can you explain what that means to people?
Meaning that you divide up the voting areas so that it is advantageous to your party, preferential to your party, so that it means that even though you may have, let's say, 40% of the vote, the way you distribute those votes means in a first-past-the-post arrangement you end up with a winning margin. So there's a lot of that goes on. Also, voter disqualification. That's a huge problem there. But even with all of that, there is a reasonably good prospect that the Democrats take back the House and the Senate, and if they do in the midterm elections in a couple of months, and if they do, then impeachment, she's all on, baby.
Really? I heard an interesting comment last night about how, you know, when you see rallies, you see, you know, political rallies and stuff like that. When you're the president of the United States, you can't just go and have a rally for yourself. You have to be somewhere and under the premise of it being presidential business.
Some pretext, yeah.
Some presidential business pretext. And the and there's now, you know, he's getting to, you know, you see those things where he stands up, they make some. I forgot to look it up. Actually, apparently he was blithering some rubbish yesterday about cooking turkeys and chickens. And
oh God, it was weird.
Was it?
Yeah, it was something about and you know, you cannot follow the thread of these things. But it was something about I swear to God, he was confusing the nation and the bird, and chickens. It was the weirdest thing, swear to God. And there was something about...
I've always enjoyed turkeys.
It takes 8 hours to cook them, and how would this connoisseur of deep-fried chicken know this? I don't know. But the whole thing was just deeply weird. But, you know, always he riffs with this weird stream of consciousness thing. But somebody also astutely noted, notwithstanding all of this completely random jazz style motif he takes to the lectern, he managed to stay on discipline enough to never mention either Manafort or Cohen in that whole three-quarter hour rant.
Because yeah, but that wouldn't be hard, though.
Self-preservation,
he'd be shitting himself,
man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he would be. He would. He well. He'll be. He'll. He. It will be fuming mostly. This is a man who has spent his whole life getting what he wants because he just has enough inherited money and legal clout to just make things go away. And for the first time in his life, he's presented with the proposition that you can't do that, you asshole.
You arrogant pig. Yeah. And that's a bitter bum of pigs, actually, say that. So just to get back to what I was saying before about those rallies, when you see him standing there and people waving signs in the background and all these other subgroups that are coming up, sort of using that position as well, but people starting to sort of say, hang on, you've been to a lot of very, very strong Republican states, you know, in fact overwhelming number, so every time he goes to do this supposedly presidential business, cutting a ribbon giving somebody a prize or something, whatever, congratulating some soldiers or something like that, you just happen to be in these really strong states, so it looks like everyone's going, yeah, Trump, wow! All these just people who think that. And so there's people starting to sort of say, you can't do that. What are you doing? This is not a campaign trail. You're supposed to be going about your business.
He has utterly redefined every aspect of...
He's redefined the truth,
the presidency. He has. And this is something that cannot hold. It is just too great an offence against everything we understand to be the underpinnings of a democracy.
But we have a situation in the world at the moment where people are so shallow in their sort of, when they investigate the news or the facts that they digest, that
we got a problem.
His whole thing is like, we're going to build a hovercraft. Hovercraft force or something. Yeah, we are. No, you're not. Yeah, we are. No, you're not. Yeah, we are. And you just get the stalemate where it's like...
Yeah, I can't recall a time, well, certainly not in our lifetime, where people have been given so much license to believe what they want to believe, as opposed to understanding the truth.
But he's just going to keep going through this just by saying, no, don't even talk about... Isn't that right, caller?
Yeah, no, it's right. But don't forget Nixon.
This is the point I was trying to make, though.
But LBJ.
But the difference between Nixon and... well, thanks for calling, by the way, caller.
Trump is almost negligible.
Yeah,
in the extent of their lies and how it affects international geopolitics.
So like LBJ, for example, you were saying that the harm done by Vietnam was greater.
And the lies that surrounded it by not telling what was actually going on, and then Nixon comes along and just lies from the get-go and influences the election by influencing the Phnom Penh government not to meet to resolve the Vietnam War so that he could get in.
It is a strong point, but I think what we've possibly gotten, Mikey was alluding to it just then, is when you're undermining the foundation of agreed facts for a democratic debate, then you're in deep water, and he's enthusiastically encouraging that as ever. He's relying on many other people to do the work. In this case, Fox News, every single last one of them.
It's unbelievable.
He's just more used to using that technology, and it was more readily available maybe than Nixon was in there, who just used newspapers or whatever technology was available.
Well, but also people
and the FBI. And the FBI.
Yeah, but people took the time then, though. You know, you only had so many different options presented to you. Mm. You know what I mean? And there's
now we don't.
Well, now you get here's the facts, and then you get the damage control so overwhelming and you know, can be stupefying sometimes that people just, which I think is half the problem with the people who support him in America. Mm. They're just blinded by
the truth, isn't he?
He's what, sorry?
He's just embellishing the truth. He's not necessarily lying.
No, he's lying.
No, he's
lying. Did you meet with the Russians before the election in your own building? Yeah. No, we did. Hell no! What are you talking about? How dare you? Yes, apart from you did. Oh, yeah, I did, yeah.
He's taking the truth out of the White House to a golf course 40 states away and beating the shit out of it, is what he's doing.
He's stuffing it in a plastic bag and suffocating
it. Yeah, that's right.
Happy birthday. Goodbye. David, thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Our pleasure. Like that,
just so I remember, the last point I want to make about is the thing is the Russian collusion. If everyone says that's what it's like, it's such a massive concept that the Russian collusion is just, that he'll get away with that because it's just the Russians. It's such a mammoth potential. Who could it be? It's going to take years for people to figure out who exactly the exact mechanics of colluding with the Russians to influence the election. It's just such a massive concept.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about, for example, the evidence that Cohen gave yesterday. It's so precise and specific. So at a certain point, you'll get something probably about the Russians in the same way. It won't be everything. It won't capture the immensity of it, but it will be a specific thing that says, you can't do that, and you go, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, David Slack, thank you very much. We didn't even get to talk about New Zealand politics, which makes me wonder.
Good.
Which makes me wonder about this Texas comment. It just says, haven't seen Jacinta down on the farm. Okay, cool. You spelled Jacinta wrong for a start. Okay. Oh, look, someone's texting, loving this GOP discussion. Way overdue. Thank you very much. Thank you, David.
Cheers.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.